Okay, good afternoon. We are continuing in the Rambam, the laws of kings and wars. Let's begin Perek Yud Aleph, chapter 11, once again, which is where the Rambam shifts away from the laws which have already been put into place. And now, as we said, in chapter 11 and 12, he's going to teach us about the laws of the future, meaning when Mashiach comes, here are the laws. And I want to remind you also, everyone, of a point that we made last time, but I want to re-emphasize this point. What the Rambam has done for us is a very great favor, which is that he's taken all of the Talmud, the Midrash, the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, the verses in Tanakh. And what he's helped us do is figure out, at least according to the Rambam's opinion, which are the things that we know are literal and to be understood in a literal sense, and these are things that have to happen, and which are things that can be metaphors. And so the Rambam, when he gives these rulings, and he says things like Mashiach is going to bring the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael, he's ruling that as a halacha, and so therefore you should not misunderstand that, let's say, in the future, that the Jewish people will stay in exile and that coming to Eretz Yisrael is a metaphor for something. No, it means literally that Mashiach is going to bring the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael. So the things that the Rambam rules need to happen in order for us to know who Mashiach is, and in order for someone to qualify as Mashiach, and these are the things we can expect, the Rambam drew all that from out of all the information that's out there, much of which is difficult to understand. Now this is important because the Rambam in chapter 12, we're not there yet, and we'll expand on the Rambam's examples a little bit more when we get there. But in chapter 12, the Rambam is going to say, listen, there are rabbis who tell you that there's going to be a war with Gog and Magog. The rabbis tell us that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to show up. There's all these different statements by our rabbis, and knowing exactly who, what, where, and when, that's something that we can't quite know yet unless you're a prophet of some kind, or you have such a great mastery of all the prophecies that you can interpret it somehow, you know all the answers. Without that, says the Rambam, you don't know. And so what the Rambam has done, he said, but of all the things we don't know, here is the things which if you look in the Talmud, you will see that we do know. And that's what he said. Now, not everyone agrees with the Rambam. That's what we'll try to point out when it comes to the things that... But this is the Rambam. According to him, he's going to give us halacha lamaisa, practical law. And as we've mentioned many times, because none of the other Rishonim really expanded and ruled on these things in a final way, like a halacha sefer, except for the Rambam, therefore, it seems from the poskim and the halachists, that we would follow the Rambam in these regards, although we may take into consideration individual places where Rishonim would disagree with him, but this is the basic Shulchan Aruch for how we, the Jewish people, are to approach the days of Mashiach. So let's begin again. HaMelech HaMashiach, the King, the Mashiach, which we discussed previous class, refers back to what he said in the beginning of the laws of kings, that there will be, that David HaMelech's family will be the kings forever, and so therefore Mashiach is going to be the king in line of the house of David. Asid la'amod, he's going to rise up, u'lahachzir malchus beis David liyoshna, and bring the house of David's sovereignty back to its old state. Meaning, the Jewish people will have a king. And that the Rambam understands is literal. And I think most of us understand that to be literal too. The only difference would be, halacha lemaisa, does he have to be called a king? Or could he be called, if he wanted to, a president or a prime minister? And what we're saying here, no, he's a king. But when we say he's going to go back, it's going to go back to the Memshala Rishona, which is a paraphrase from a verse in Micha, but literally translates as the original rulership, and there's some disagreement amongst the commentaries as to what that's trying to add. It already says he's going to bring Malchus Beis David back to its original state, Liyoshna. What's the Memshala Rishona? So there are some who want to suggest that the Rambam is trying to hint, although not openly state, that the Jewish people will have all 12 tribes. And so Memshala Rishona, which is when the Jewish people first established the king, it was all the Jewish people only having one king. That lasted through Shaul and then David, maybe Shaul's son in between, but then David and then Shlomo. But after Shlomo's death, the kingdom splits into two. So we're not just saying that they're going to go back to the original kingship, but it means that they're going to rule over everyone. Now you could say, without saying like these commentaries, you could learn like other commentaries, that it just means all the Jewish people, there won't be a division, but it's not necessarily true that he's going to rule over the 10 tribes, where that depends on this debate whether they're going to come back. However, we're going to learn the simple reading here, the way most of the Mefarshim learn, that the Rambam, that all the Jewish people are going to come back, and even those who are lost, as we just davened on Rosh Hashanah, we said, we quoted the verse, V'haya b'yamahu, yitaka b'shofar gadol, there will be a blowing of the loud sound of the great shofar, uva'u ha'ovdim, yaretz asher, v'anidachim, yaretz Mitzrayim. So those who are lost by the Assyrians, meaning the 10 tribes, and those who are lost in Egypt, they are all going to return to us, and so that's the prophecy that the 10 tribes will return. Yes?
Do we hope now that we have one tribe, which is
the Levi
and Kohen.
So the Jewish people right now are the majority. We don't know if it's 80 or 90% Yehuda and Binyamin, and then a little mix of all the other tribes, and then there's probably half of Shevet Levi. We assume that the other half, you know, when I say half, I mean a great portion and a great portion. So a great portion went out with the 10 tribes because they were living in the different cities outside of Yerushalayim. But but a great portion of the Levim who lived with Yehuda and Binyamin, they would have remained, and they're the Kohanim and Levim of today. Right? Okay. So that's what he's going to do. Ubona Mikdash, and he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. We discussed last time that this contradicts the different approaches as to how the Beis HaMikdash will be built. I'm not going to go over that again. And finally, Umekabeitz Nidche Yisrael, he's going to gather in all the exiled, all those who are dispersed amongst the Jewish people. He will gather in the diaspora, and as we mentioned last time, the Rambam seems to understand the first Mashiach shows up, and then he builds the Beis HaMikdash, and then he's going to gather the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael. We'll see whether that goes along with what the Rambam writes later. So let's just hold on to that thought. And then writes the Rambam, V'chozrim kol ha-mishpatim. And all of the Torah laws will come back b'yamav in his days, k'shehayu mikodem, as they were before. Which means, clearly, an establishment of a Sanhedrin, and a sudden implication of 613 commandments applying in Eretz Yisrael. 613 commandments. While today, the best count gives us, even if you were to count all the people, meaning men, women, children, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, at most we can fulfill today, according to the Shlach HaKadosh, let's go with that, 270 of the 613. That's how much we're missing. And when Mashiach comes and reinstitutes everything in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to be able to do all 613. And the Rambam gives us examples of things we're going to do that we're not currently doing. What are those things? Makriv and Karbanos. We are going to offer offerings, to realize that we're going to be bringing Karbanos, and there's going to be cows and sheep and this brought on the Mizbeach every day. And if a person commits a Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg, it's not anymore, oops, now it's, okay, I owe a carbon. You have to take a carbon up to Yerushalayim. And also, next thing, v'osin shmitin v'yovelos. We are going to start keeping the laws of Shemitah and Yovel. Shemitah is that every 7 years, the land is to be left empty and left for the poor and everyone can take. And Yovel is every 50 years. After 7 times 7, you have Yovel, there's Machlokas in the Gemara, but we seem to paskin like the opinion that Shemitah is year 7, 14, 21, etc., and 49. And then Yovel is year 50, and then the following year is year 1. So it's actually 2 years in a row where you leave the land fallow on Shemitah and Yovel, the year 49 and the year 50.
That's
a great question. Well, wait, what does the Rambam mean? We will keep Shemitah. Aren't we keeping Shemitah today? Right? That's right. The answer is because there's a machlokas between the Rambam and the other Rishonim. The Rambam is of the position that the laws of Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael today are only midrabanan, which is why all those heterim and leniencies for the sake of keeping Shemitah began, such as Otzer Beis Din and Heter Mechira and all these other things that were instituted for this purpose, was all because the Rambam is of the opinion that Shemitah, that the laws of the land, Bizman Hazeh, are only the Rabbana. And that's exactly why the Rambam says, when Mashiach will come, that's when we will start keeping Shemitah and Yovel for real, which means that it's not going to be a Shemitah and a Yovel like they keep it in Eretz Yisrael today with all those leniencies, if all those leniencies are only based on Shemitah being the Rabbana. So if Shemitah becomes a biblical obligation when the Jewish people are gathered into Eretz Yisrael, at that point, Shemitah and Yovel is going to become very, very strict. And let's also remember that Yovel is not just another Shemitah. It's not just the year when you leave the land fallow. But any Jewish servants, bondsmen, and Eved Ivri that you have acquired, he's going to go free. Now, I don't know if anyone here has an Eved Ivri. I hope you don't, because there's no Sanhedrin, and so we don't live in a time when that law applies. But once Yovel applies, then the laws of Eved Ivri apply, and if a Jew steals and he can't pay it back, he would be sold as an Eved Ivri, and then he would go free by Yovel. Those laws would all come back into application. But you know what else happens on Yovel? All sales of land are undone. And they all return to their ancestral lands. Because everyone here is part of some, you know, there's four Amas in Eretz Yisrael that belong to you. I say four Amas, that's an expression. It means there's a little part of Eretz Yisrael that belongs to you, no matter who's living there today.
And how do we find that?
So we're going to have to. There's some discussion as to whether that's part of Mashiach's role is to redivide the land, and whether that's an earlier stage or a later stage. Because there's some opinions that say that even the laws of Yovel won't kick in until each of the tribes is resettled in its area in Eretz Yisrael. And whether we rule like that opinion, don't rule like that opinion, we'll need Mashiach maybe to give a ruling on that. But that is a concept we are expecting if there are laws of the tribes. If there are 613 laws, some of those involve the concept of tribes, such as each Shevet having its own Sanhedrin. That's one of the mitzvahs of Sanhedrin. So we have to know whose Shevet everyone is from. So we're all going to have to get divided up.
It's just like Moshe went around and, the Israelites went around, they knew who the Bachor was, the Egyptians,
Right, but it was still going to be by the tribes. The Jewish people were still going to be divided by tribes, just instead of the Levim coming to do it, it would be the Bechorim from each family.
I picture Mashiach going and saying, okay, you're from this tribe, you're from this tribe, you're from this tribe.
Okay. Right, so that's one of the approaches amongst the Mefarshim, that's exactly what he's going to do. And we're going to talk about that later when we get to Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Beis, where the Rambam is going to deal with this question, because it seems like throughout the Talmud they keep saying, when Eliyahu HaNavi comes, he'll answer these questions. Because Eliyahu HaNavi can just point it and say, you're from Reuven, you're from Shimon, you're from Levi. So that's the Rambam is going to discuss, how do we understand that? Is he going to show up and tell some Kohen who's been duchening all his life that you're actually from the tribe of Naphtali? We'll see. We're expecting that one of the miracles of Mashiach is that all these things get done without red tape. Okay. But that's what the Rambam is saying, that Shemitah and Yovel are going to kick in, which means all sales of land all get undone and return to their ancestral, so people are going to have to move out of houses. Every Yovel. Okay, Kechol Mitzvasa Na'amura B'Torah, basically, it's going to go back to a country that runs according to the laws of the Torah. That is what we are looking for in the days of Mashiach, as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, is for an opportunity for all the Jewish people to be able to be their best Jewish selves. And you cannot be a complete Torah Jew while we don't have Eretz Yisrael in our hands with a Beis HaMikdash, with all the Jewish people there. Without that, it's not just that we don't have the opportunity. The mitzvahs aren't there. There's no Beis HaMikdash. There's nothing. But when Mashiach will come, he's going to reestablish. Eretz Yisrael will run by the power of 613 commandments. The king will have his mitzvahs. The Kohanim will have their mitzvahs. The Beis HaMikdash will have its mitzvahs. The Levim, the Yisraelim, the walled cities, everything will go back to the laws as they were kept. Probably the best example would be in the days of David HaMelech, or the days of Shlomo HaMelech. Let me give a little bit of an introduction to this, just a line or two, because this is the Rambam. I mean, he was living in the Middle East, but at that time, the Muslims ran that part of the world, and if you went further west and north into Europe, the Christians, they ran that part of the world, and it's pretty much still like that today, although the lines have shifted and moved. But the Rambam lived in a day when the Muslims were at that time at the peak of their intellectual pursuits. They were recognized as the leading philosophers of the times, which is basically, I mean, it's not that big a deal. It's like they had the best athletes, right? So they had the best philosophers in those days. But for many people, especially for most people who like to consider themselves to be intellectual, which is something that people like to think of themselves. So how do you know if you're intellectual? So if you can speak, so to speak, the jargon that's popular in your lifetime, so then you're an intellectual. But in the days of the Rambam, Islam, this Muslim philosophies, had been turned into something intellectual. And a lot of Jews who wanted to be intellectuals too. And Yidden, we want to be doing the right thing. And if you're not educated properly, you start believing that what the world is teaching actually makes sense, and you start following it. And a lot of Yidden were falling into it. And as we discussed, that's why that was really the primary motivation for the writing of the Mora Nevuchim. In the Guide to the Perplexed, the Rambam lays out how Islam actually is not Aristotelian and contradicts most of the Aristotelian principles, which were Aristotelian principles were given as truth and undeniable truth. So since the Muslims had figured out a way to make their religion fit with Aristotle, a lot of Jews were drawn to it. So the Rambam shows how actually their whole religion does not fit with Aristotle, and if anything, Judaism fits with Aristotle, and then he lays out Judaism in an Aristotelian system, and that's how the Rambam got into trouble writing the Guide to the Perplexed. But another gift that the Rambam gave to the Jewish people, which only became necessary at that time, was the gift of the 13 principles of faith. Because before the Rambam, if you asked a Jew what he believed, say, I believe in God. What else do you believe? In the Torah, what else do you believe? There was an Abraham. What else? That there was a Yitzchak. That there was a Yaakov. That there was Shvatim. How do you sum up all the Torah in all of this? But the Rambam, in his great brilliance, said, yeah, all that's true. But all that's story. What are the basic principles of what we believe? And the reason why that was necessary was because the Muslims would challenge the Jews and they say, here's what we believe. Because they only believe five things. Their whole religion is five things. Right? There's nothing complex to it. It's man-made. And in Christianity, too, they believe in five things. So they believe these five things, and then if you believe these five things, you're a good Christian. If you believe these five things, you're a good Muslim. So then they would say to the Jew, what are your five things? And the Jew would say, five things, 5,000 things. So the Rambam said, no, here, let me help you. Here, if you take Kol HaTorah Kul, if you take the whole Torah, you will find that there are 13 things, which if you believe them, you are a Torah Jew, and if you don't believe them, you're a heretic. And others have disagreed with the Rambam on minor points, maybe some semantics, but generally speaking, it's universally accepted that these are, in fact, the 13 principles of Jewish faith, and the Rambam is brilliant enough to take the whole Torah and sum it up into its primary principles. Those are the 13 principles, which you open your Siddur, you'll find them in the form of Animamim. But if you look at them, as the Sefer Ari Karim explains, you could technically sum them up into three categories. Belief in God, and the Rambam makes different belief that God runs the world, belief that you should only serve God, belief that God has no body. He makes these into separate principles, but essentially it's belief in God. And then the second set of principles is belief that there's Torah. So prophets, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah will never change, but it's essentially the concept that there's Torah. And three is reward and punishment. So God knows what you're doing, that there will be reward and punishment, Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim. So they're basically that belief in God, belief in the Torah, and belief in the reward and punishment. That's how you can sum up all 13 principles. But it's not enough that you just believe that there will be reward and punishment. If you have to actually believe Bevias HaMashiach. You have to believe in Mashiach, and even if you believe everything in the Torah is true, and that there will be reward and punishment, but it will all be in the next world, you're a heretic. And such a person has no portion in the world to come. So now the question is, where does the Rambam get this? Belief in God, it says in the Torah, Anochi Hashem Elokech, I am Hashem your God. Where does it say in the Torah that there will be a Mashiach? That it becomes a principle, such an important principle. Because you know what? If somebody says, I don't believe Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come, we say, no, there's opinions. I'm not a heretic. But if you don't believe in Mashiach, where does it say this? So the Rambam now has to explain why he holds that the coming of Mashiach is a core principle of Yiddishkeit. And if you think about this, it's very hard for a lot of Jews who are not so religious to believe this. All the ones before this are a lot easier for them to believe because it kind of fits with what they've learned. Yeah, Jews believe in a God, God with no body, and we believe in Moshe, and he was a prophet, and there'll be reward and punishment. Most sensible people recognize that there's a concept of reward and punishment. But Mashiach, this king, is going to show up, and we're going to have a king, and we're going to build a temple and bring offerings. Call me, says the Rambam, call me and anyone. She'eno ma'amin bo, does not believe in Mashiach. O mi she'eno mechake lebiyaso, or if you don't wait for his coming. If you don't wait for Mashiach, you're a heretic. And so when it says in Animam in Bamuna Shalema, I believe, Bevias HaMashiach and the coming of Mashiach, Ve'afal pishi yismamea, and even if he delays, Achake lo b'chol yom shiyavo, that's not a postscript saying, I believe in Mashiach, meaning I fulfill my conditions, I believe in Mashiach. And because I believe in Mashiach, therefore I'll wait for Mashiach. No. My belief is that I believe in Mashiach and I'm waiting for him. That's all part of the basic principles of Judaism. And if someone isn't waiting for Mashiach, according to the Rambam, there's a problem.
Right. Because a lot of people, if he's coming, but, don't come yet, I'm not ready.
Right. So that would actually be a problem. And you know, sometimes a person has that thought. When Mashiach comes, all the world is going to change. All tests will change. I don't feel like I've graduated enough of this world for Mashiach to come. I want to stop talking Lashon Hara first, right? And then once I do that, then Mashiach can come. But anticipating and hoping, right? Right, but right, Achake lo b'chol yom shiyavo is waiting for the guy to fix your Wi-Fi. Right, but the Rambam, right? It's clear in his words that he's putting the act of anticipation as a principle of faith. Now, I want to remind you. You may ask a question: isn't principles of faith like things you believe? So, if it's something you believe, hoping for something is a different action than believing. I mean, believing he will come should be the principle. How is the Rambam putting into a principle of faith that you should believe and that you should hope? The answer is that the Rambam doesn't actually, for example, one of the principles of faith is that you should only daven to Hashem and not to anyone else. That's not a belief. that's a rule. That's an action that you're supposed to do. One part of being a believing Jew is to only daven to Hashem and not to daven to anyone else. So part of being a believing Jew is to wait. So says the Rambam, where am I getting this from? So you should know, if you don't believe in Mashiach, or you don't await for his coming, you're not only denying things that appear in the prophets, which you could say, okay, so I'm only a half heretic because I believe all the Torah of Moshe. I'm just not so sure about what this verse in Yeshaya means. Says the Rambam, no. If you don't believe in Mashiach, you're also denying what it says in the Torah itself. And the Rambam is going to show us where the Torah openly states the coming of Mashiach. And therefore, the Rambam is going to insist that if you don't believe in Mashiach, you don't believe in these verses in the Torah. So what are these verses? It says in many places in Yeshaya that a branch will come forth from Yishai and right and all these prophecies that speak of the coming of Mashiach. And if you look in Yeshaya, there's many such verses, and in Zechariah and in all these Svarim in Tanakh. So the Rambam is going to say that soon. He's going to say, if you want to look for Mashiach, just open the book to any page. Right? But you're going to say, but it's not in the Torah itself, and if it's such a basic principle, it should be in the Torah. The Rambam is going to show us how it is in the Torah. However, as we'll see, some of this requires some discussion. It says the Rambam, Shahari Torah Ha'ida Alav, the Torah testifies about him. Shenamar, as it says, okay, V'shav Hashem Elokacha Es Shavuscha, Hashem will return your captives, your captivity. V'richamecha, and will show you mercy. V'shav, v'kibetzcha mikolo amim, and he will go back and he will return and bring gather you from amongst all the nations. And the Torah continues, im yihiyah nidachacha b'kzeh ha-shamayim, if your dispersed shall be at the ends of the heavens, misham yikabetzcha Hashem alekecha, from there Hashem your God will gather you. Umisham yikachacha, from there he will take you. Vehevi'acha Hashem elokecha, and Hashem your God will bring you. These psukim that the Rambam is quoting here, this is Nitzavim Perek Lamed Pasuk Gimel, where it says, V'haya ki yivou alecha kal advarim ha'ela. All these things will come to you. Habracha v'haklala, the blessings and the curses. And you'll realize, you know what? V'ashevosa alavavecha, you will return to your heart, b'chalagayim, ashedichacha Hashem lekecha shama, v'shavta ad Hashem lekecha, and you will do teshuva. V'shav Hashem lekecha, as shavuscha, Hashem will recall all your captives. The Rambam is learning, as we can all plainly read in his words, that these verses don't refer to Hashem causing something to happen that's going to bring the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael, but that this is specifically referring to Mashiach. Right? So once again, we have our famous current world debate going on amongst the Jewish people. And it is clear that in order for anyone to say that the return of the Jewish people has been foretold, they would have to not learn like the Rambam, but perhaps like the Ramban, as we've said many times, who holds that even today, Bizman Azeh, there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, of populating and taking Eretz Yisrael. But like the Rambam is going to learn almost, I didn't say almost, maybe it's more than almost, that you should not go back. And that anyone who claims, obviously, as we discussed last time, individuals should go back, but it means the people. And anyone who therefore would get up and say, Rabosai, we are living in days where these verses have been fulfilled, such a person would be guilty of heresy, according to the Rambam. Right? According to the other Rishonim, which a person can rely on, that's not my job to make the psak halacha, but you should recognize that any statement that says that the return of the Jewish people before the coming of Mashiach, and it's interesting that we have not been able to bring a majority into Eretz Yisrael even today, even with all the abilities we have today, we just can't get that majority. And perhaps it's because these verses, according to the Rambam, have to be fulfilled specifically by Mashiach. But what I'm referring to specifically is the claiming of these verses. I mean, you could say the Jewish people should go back, but claiming that these verses have been fulfilled, according to the Rambam, these are verses foretelling of what Mashiach is going to do, and therefore claiming otherwise, or that these have been fulfilled, may be a heretical approach in terms of the laws of expecting Mashiach. That verse doesn't mention Mashiach. All those verses don't mention it. They mention Hashem bringing the Jewish people back, which is why others don't read like the Rambam. Once again, we're just saying that the Rambam would not hold of this. But the Rambam has not yet shown to us how he knows that there is a Mashiach. So then he goes on to say, "Ve'elu advarim amufarashim b'Torah." And you should know that these things which are spelled out also openly in the Torah, "Heim kolulim kol advarim shenemra yidei kol ha-neviim," if you knew how to read these verses properly in the Torah, you would see how these verses include within them all the prophecies of all the prophets of what is to come in the future. Af beparshas Bilam Namar, this is also described in the Parsha of Bilam. And now the Rambam is going to explain to us that of all the prophecies in the Torah, it is Bilam who is the most open about Mashiach himself. And the reason is because Bilam is speaking to Balak, and he says to him, "Let me tell you what's going to happen at the end of days." V'sham niba v'shnei ha-mashichem. And actually, Bilam speaks, if you read his words properly, of both Mashiachs. We think, Mashiach HaRishon, the first Mashiach, Shehu David, that he's the original Mashiach. Al Yidei David, Mashiach Tzidkecha. Right? So many learn Al Yidei David, Mashiach Tzidkecha means Al Yidei David, like the grandfather of Mashiach, your righteous one. But according to the Rambam, David is himself Mashiach 1. Shehu David, Shoshias Yisrael, Miyad Tzarem, he saved the Jewish people from their enemies. And then Bilam speaks of the Mashiach HaAchron, of the final Mashiach, Sheyamod Mibanav, who will rise from amongst Mashiachs, from David's descendants, Shemoshia Es Yisrael, and he will save the Jewish people. Look at the next three words, Miyad B'nei Esav. So the Mashiach is going to save the Jewish people from the hands of the Esavites, which means that the Rambam seems to disagree with the Rishonim like the Ibn Ezra and others who learn that the fourth exile is the exile of Yishmael. But the Rambam holds that the fourth exile is the exile of Edom, which is the Christian exile. And of course, in the Sefer Daniel, there is this description of the Muslims and Christians both kind of working together to create the fourth exile. But it's primarily Edom, Esav. And here the Rambam seems to read this way. I was hoping to do, we're going to do a whole thing on the Rambam's position on Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef, which was in my plans to do today, but timing doesn't look like it. But we're going to have a whole discussion on what the Rambam's opinion of Mashiach ben Yosef. We've alluded to it a little bit at the beginning of Hilchos Melachim, but I'm going to remind you of what we said then. But that requires its own discussion, because I think immediately when the Rambam says, and you see Bilam is referring to two Mashiachs, we immediately go, oh, he's going to mention Mashiach ben Yosef, but instead he sees these two Mashiachs as David and his grandson Mashiach. So we're going to have a whole discussion on that. Also, before we read the next line, it's an interesting thing to know that the Rambam had a lot of Sfarim that he never wrote but planned on writing. The most significant example is the Rambam wrote the Mishneh Torah, but as you can see, these are just his, he just gives you the halacha. He doesn't tell you which Gemaras he took and which lines and which, and we'll see that part of what makes it so complicated for us. You know, we're going to see a great example of that coming up soon. So we don't know exactly where the Rambam is taking all this, and that's why there's so many commentaries around the Rambam who say, well, this Rambam is because of this, and this Rambam is because of that. You know, how do we know that, why does the Rambam use the example of Karbanos coming back? Because in the Gemara says, why are you telling me this halacha? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore. It says the Gemara, Hilchasa Mashiach, but you'll need these halachas when Mashiach comes. So therefore the Rambam uses Karbanos as the example, because the Gemara used Karbanos is an example that comes back in this Mashiach. Every word of the Rambam has a source. And the Rambam was going to write, when they criticized him for writing a book without sources, you know, you're just giving the rulings, we don't know where you're coming from. So he answered that his plan was to write a separate book where he would explain it all. This was like the Shulchan Aruch, and then he was going to write the, I get to use the word Beis Yosef, or the more general book explaining everything that precedes this. Unfortunately, that never got written. Fortunately, it never got written, because it allowed all these other rabbis to argue over what the Rambam source is, and instead of one book, we now have 100 books. Another sefer the Rambam planned on writing but never did, and it's kind of painful to think about it, is he wanted to write a commentary on the whole Chumash. Like, kind of like what we have on Rashi on the Torah, we have a Rambam on the Torah. And he never got to write it. So what somebody did, which took a lot of work, was they went through all the writings of the Rambam, wherever in his writings he explains any verses, and they created a sefer called the Rambam Al Torah, but it's not the Rambam's sefer Al Torah, it's just a collection of all the different things that the Rambam says throughout his writings to explain verses. But here we have a little commentary from the Rambam on Bilam's prophecy. And if you look in other Rishonim, they don't read it this way. But the Rambam, not only does he read these verses this way, he says, these are what the verses mean, and so if you don't believe what these verses say, you're a heretic. So you have to first accept the Rambam's interpretation of these verses that were referring to Mashiach, and then once you read it that way, then of course Mashiach is openly written in the Torah. So let's see how the Rambam writes it. V'sham hu omer, there, Bilam says, Erenu, I see him, I see the Savior. V'lo'ata, but not now, coming soon, Zed David. That's a reference to someone coming soon, you know, 500 years from now. Ashurenu means to like, look from high on the mountain, to look, gaze afar. V'lo karov, but he's not close, meaning he's so far away. Says the Rambam, Zeh Melech HaMashiach, that's Bilam, seeing Mashiach. Continues Bilam, Darach kochav mi Yaakov, I see a star shoot forth from Yaakov. Zeh David, that's a reference to David, who was just a star, so to speak. But then it says, V'kam shevet mi Yisrael, a whole rod, a ruler, a leader, a tribe will arise in the Jewish people. Zeh HaMelech HaMashiach, that refers to Mashiach. Continuing, Umachatz es pa'asei Moav, and he will smash the edges of Moav. Zeh David, that's a reference to David. How do we know it's a reference to David? Because that's actually what happened. V'cheinu Omer, it says in the Navi, Vayaches Moab, this is in Shmuel Beis, and he smote the Moabites, Vayimadidem b'chavel, and sort of measured them with a rope, meaning he conquered their land. And then the verse continues, V'karkar kol b'nei sheis, and he will, let's just translate karkar right now as to rule over, but he will rule over all the children of sheis. Who's sheis? Sheis is the third son of Adam, meaning all of humanity. The Karkar Kol B'nei Sheis is Bilam saying, and he will rule all humanity. Who's that referring to? David never ruled all of humanity. No human being is truly, maybe Nimrod minus Avraham, right? But no one's really ruled all of humanity. Zeh Melech HaMashiach. That's got to be a reference to Mashiach, says the Rambam. Shenamar, of whom it says in Zechariah, Umashlo miyam ad yam, his rule will be from sea to shining sea. It doesn't say shining. Okay. Vahaya ad, it continues the pasuk. Bilam is speaking. Vahaya Edom Yeresha, and Edom will be what he inherits. L'David, that's a reference to David. Shenemar, as it says, Vatihi Edom l'David la'avadim, that the Edomites became the servants of David. So that's a fulfillment of that verse. But then it says, V'haya Yeresha Seir Ayvav, that he will inherit Seir, the land of his enemies. That hasn't happened. But we know when that's going to happen. Zeh Melech HaMashiach. We know that's a reference to Mashiach. Shenemar, we say this every day, at the end of Az Yashir. V'alu Moshiim Mihar Tzion, and the saviors will ascend from Har Tzion, Nishbotas Har Esav, to judge the mountain of Esav. And so, says the Rambam, so first of all, you see how the Rambam's interpreting the verses based on how he understands them. And once again, if you look in Rashi, you'll find a different understanding of all of these verses. Some of them that the Rambam reads refers to Mashiach, the Rashi we learn refers to David, and the other way around. But the point of the Rambam isn't that you have to agree with each of these words. His point is, it's clear that Bilam is talking about Mashiach. We always find it ironic that when you walk into shul, the first line you say is from Bilam, Matovu Oelacha Yaakov, Mishkanesecha Yisrael. And you know what? That's the way it should be, right? Let our enemies look and see how beautiful our tents are, and we should be proud of how beautiful our tents are, how beautiful our shuls are. And of course, it's words of prophecy, it comes from Hashem, so Bilam's just a vessel for it. But now we're saying more. We're saying the 12th of the 13 principles of faith is most explicitly sourced in the words of Bilam, because he most openly speaks of a Jewish king that will rise, a star who will rule all of the planet, all of humanity, and that's a reference to Mashiach, says the Rambam. Therefore, if you don't believe in the concept of Mashiach, or if you don't await for him, because somehow the Rambam understands that that's part of the expectation, you are then considered a kofer, a denier of the Torah. And this is why it is, the question is, how often you have to wait for Mashiach? Because, you know, it's really hard to focus on some heavy task that you're doing if you're thinking about all 13 principles of faith at the same time. Right? But a person has to, in general, believe. So what is suggested, and this is what the best way to do it, is that every day when you get to the part of Shemona Esrei, where you say, Ki Yishuascha Kivinu Kol Hayom, for your salvation, we hope all day. And then some sidurim, the Sfard, others, some sidurim do have this insertion of Umitzapim li Yeshua, we await the salvation. And some say that that line, Umitzapim li Yeshua, we await salvation, doesn't belong in that part of Shemoneh Esrei, but rather it was not a part of the bracha, but a parenthetical instruction, saying when you get to the Shuascha Kvin Kalayom, this is the moment when you should stop and be Metzapa li Yeshua to wait for the salvation. However, the point is that that's really good. It's a very good idea to make it a part of your Shemona Esrei. The only difficulty is that you have to still be paying attention all the way that far in your davening in order to remember by a Tzemach David, which is closer to the end, that you should be a mitzvah and a Yeshua. But that is a good way to do it, because you're actually bringing your mitzvah into your davening, and when you're asking for Mashiach to come, that's the great best moment to believe in Mashiach and to await for Mashiach, and that would be the way to fulfill this mitzvah that the Rambam tells us about, which is the mitzvah to believe in Mashiach. Says the Rambam, now we're going to move on to Halacha Beis. Says the Rambam, I have another proof that you have to believe in Mashiach. Let me say it outside, and then we'll read it inside. When the Jewish people went into Eretz Yisrael, they fulfilled all the mitzvahs that were available for them to fulfill in Eretz Yisrael. But there was one mitzvah that the Jewish people only fulfilled 66.6 with a bar on top percent of that mitzvah, which is Hashem said that there should be three cities of refuge in Transjordan, and there should be three cities of refuge in Eretz Yisrael. And by the way, even if you institute cities of refuge in Transjordan, they don't take effect until you make the cities of refuge in Eretz Yisrael. And nevertheless, what did Moshe do? Az Yavdil Moshe. Moshe says, even if they don't have to take effect, when you have a mitzvah, you have to do it. And so Moshe established three cities of refuge that had no effect. But then as soon as Yoshua came in and established three cities of refuge, all six came into 48, but the six primary cities of refuge. But then the Torah tells us, no, he only did the three in Transjordan. When Yeshua came into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe couldn't have done it, and still, that's the whole Torah, that Moshe still did something that was ineffective, because he just wanted to put things in their place, even a little bit. Right? But then the Torah tells us in Parshas Shoftim, "Ve'im yarchiv Hashem es gevulcha," when Hashem will expand your boundaries, "kasha nishba lavusecha," like He swore to your forefathers, "v'nasan lecha," and He will give you "es kol ha'aretz asher diber laseis lavusecha." Now this contains in it a great secret, that when the Jewish people were coming back from Mitzrayim, Hashem said, "Don't touch Ammon, Moab, or Edom." Those three lands were promised to us. When Hashem said to Avram, "I'm going to give you the land," Hashem actually said to Avram, "I'm going to give you the land of the 10 nations. Then, after that one time where Hashem says the 10 nations, it then switches to the 7 nations from now on. So says the Torah, you should know, when you're going in now, I'm not letting you attack Ammon, Moab, Edom. You're going to have to skip those three. But v'myarchiv Hashem lekechas gevulcha, one day will come, and Hashem will expand your boundaries, and you will conquer the land of those three. So then, kisishmor is called a mitzvah azos, you'll keep these mitzvahs, etc. V'yasafta lacha, o shalosh arim, al shalosh ha'eli, you'll have to add three more cities of refuge. Says the Rambam, it hasn't happened. There's one line in the whole Torah that says of something that's going to happen to the Jewish people, and it hasn't happened yet. Because, says the Rambam, it's telling you what's going to happen in the future. So says the Rambam, if you don't believe that the Jewish people are going to have Mashiach, who's going to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael and reestablish the land, you're also not believing that we're going to add these three cities of refuge, and therefore you're denying an entire mitzvah of the Torah. Not just a prophecy spoken in the Torah, but you're denying one of the 630 mitzvahs. Now you're a real kofar. I mean, you're a real kofar before, but now you qualify as your standard kofar, the person who says, "I only believe in 612 mitzvahs." Let's read it inside. Af ba'arei miklat, also regarding cities of refuge, who Omer it says, "Ki yarchiv Hashem es gvulcha," when Hashem will expand your boundaries. V'yasafta lecha od shalosh arim al shalosh el, you should add three cities to these three cities that you have already. Me'olam lo haya davar zeh, this has not yet happened. V'lo tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu letohu, and there's no mitzvah which is for tohu for no reason. And therefore, says the Rambam, you should accept both of these points. A, the prophetic and prophecies of that speak of Mashiach, and two, the technical elements of the Torah which cannot be fulfilled without Mashiach. Both of these teach us that Mashiach is a principle of faith, and if you don't believe it, you are denying not just my opinion of what's going to happen, the Rambam, but also the Torah itself. And then the Rambam finishes this, and we'll end with this, "Avo b'divrei ha'neviim ein hadavar tzarich raya." But if you want to look in the words of the prophets, you don't need much proof. "Shekal ha'sfarim malei midavar zeh," the prophets are filled with discussion of Mashiach and all of that. That's going to be, in other words, the only reason I'm spending this much time is because I want to show you how it's in the Torah too. But it's not like it's only in the Torah. It's open in the prophets all over. It speaks of Mashiach openly. But to show that it's in the Torah, and therefore the Rambam and Halacha Beis, Well, in Halacha Aleph and Beis, he established that there will be a Mashiach. These are the things he's going to do. He's going to bring back the Torah. If you don't believe it, it is heresy. It is denial of the whole Torah. Beis Hashem, we should see Mashiach come soon, and we'll see him ourselves.
If you use the phrase when or if in front of something, does that mean it has to happen?
You see, what he's saying is that the mitzvah has to happen. When Hashem says, if this will happen, then this is what you should do, so there has to be at some point where this will happen and that's what you do, otherwise it's a mitzvah letohu. Right? So Hashem wouldn't have put a mitzvah in. So you may ask, well, what about Bensorah Morah, according to the opinion that never came true, but the elements of Bensorah Morah still came true, meaning all the parts of it. Right? So for example, how, you know, parents who tried to bring their child but didn't qualify, that also is the part of the mitzvah ben Sora Mora. But this concept of conquering these lands and adding three cities of refuge, it's just never happened, and that line in the Torah would be unfulfilled, and that can't be.